Your Bibles to the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. It's good to see all of you this evening. In the 26th chapter, it tells us there the story of Uzziah, a king of Judah in the middle period of the history of the southern kingdom of Judah. He was one of the most successful kings that Judah ever had. He was a righteous king. In fact, we're told, I believe that, because that's what we're told in sacred scripture. But he not only was a righteous king, but he also made one of the biggest mistakes that we find any of the kings of the southern kingdom making. And I want us to look at that and contemplate it for just a few minutes tonight in our lesson. In chapter 26, verse 1, it says, "And the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth, and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers." That's the port city in the south on the Red Sea. That after the king slept with his fathers. And Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. It then goes on to tell of some of the great victories that he had over the nations round about him. And that's one of the things that made him so successful. In fact, during his day, in the southern part of the country, they were able to achieve the boundaries that Solomon had achieved in the south during the height of the Israelite empire that existed in Solomon's day. Now he went and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal and the Maonites. And the Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. And he also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions, according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. And the total number of the heads of households of valiant warriors was 2,600. And under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. So see, here was a situation in which you had Judah, a relatively small country with a very large standing army ready at the king's order to be able to wage battle against any enemy that decided it was going to wage war against Judah. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. So here you find a king who in many ways achieved in Judah something that hadn't been achieved in Judah before. He was someone who had, as he served God, as he trusted in God, was achieving things that hadn't really been achieved since Solomon had achieved them during that great period of empire that had been achieved by Solomon in the United Empire of Israel. And here he was achieving it at least for the southern part of the country in Judah. But he tells us in verse 16, in the turning point in this chapter, "But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." Now here is a man that is described as a king who did right in the sight of the Lord. It says that here at the beginning of his reign. We'll say that later on. In fact, in the king's account, as it talks about Uzziah, it doesn't even mention this, that he went in. It will describe the penalty that he received, but it doesn't describe his particular crime of going into the temple to offer incense and showing such audacity to take God's law and tread it underfoot and try to assume the prerogative that was not allowed him under the law of Moses. It's ignored in 2 Kings. But we do see the penalty that he suffered. In some ways, you can almost imagine it being a little thing. It's a small part of his life. It's almost like just a lack of judgment for a day. But his pride put him in a situation to where perhaps he thought, why shouldn't I be able to do this? All other Middle Eastern kings are priests to their gods. Why can't I go in and offer incense? All the nation's kings do that. I'm the most powerful king in the country. Why should I submit to all of these sissy priests here? I have as good a relationship with God as they do. And it's just incense. So in his pride, it tells us that he went in to burn incense in the temple of Jehovah. Very often when people sin, it comes from a time in which they're just not thinking like they ought to think. Sometimes it may just be a day of improper decision making. Sometimes it may just be that they put themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, around the wrong people, and they wind up making decisions that aren't what they ought to be. It happens that way often with young people. And before you know it, they have stumbled and fallen into a sin that may wind up having consequences far beyond their ability to imagine them at the time. That's what happened with Uzziah here. It may have been a small thing as far as he was concerned, but his pride put him in a position to where he wasn't imagining consequences. He was thinking about his rights. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, in verse 18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 12? It says, "Therefore let him who think he stands take heed, lest he fall." And here we find a very, very vulnerable position that King Uzziah had put himself in. In fact, something that he thought was a very, very important position to put himself in was something that wasn't what God wanted him in. And just like Jesus says in Luke 16 and verse 15, he says, "You who try to justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." It was just right for priests to do what Uzziah had done, but for Uzziah to do it was detestable in the sight of God. Pride led to his sin, and therefore, there's punishment just around the corner. Now, I want you to show you what happened. That also shows us an error that Uzziah made. Sometimes when people sin, there's someone there quickly to correct them, and they immediately notice that they've done something wrong, and their heart shows itself to be right. And they immediately correct the error. It's not the case with Uzziah here. Notice in verse 17, it says, "Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men." Boy, can you imagine how much courage it took to confront the king and tell him how wrong he was? "We're not going to put up with you doing something that is not right for a king to do. Even though you're the king, even though you control the army, we stand as priests of God, and we will not allow you to violate God's law and to defile God's temple in such a way." And they opposed Uzziah the king and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, besides the altar of incense. Some people can be corrected and immediately know that they've done wrong. I want you to notice Uzziah's response when these brave 80 men confront him. Instead of being rebuked and corrected and standing down, he gets angry. In Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, in verse 5, it says, "It's better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools." Which do you like better, to be patted on the back or to be rebuked? I don't know of anybody who likes to be rebuked. But isn't it better to be rebuked by somebody who is wise and is telling you what you need rather than to be bragged on about something that you're doing that is leading you to destruction? I think so. We see also in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 2, in some of his last words to the younger preacher Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells him, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." You notice he does tell him that he needs to exhort, but he tells him also that he needs to reprove and rebuke. There's a time for encouragement, but there's a time to reprove and rebuke. And that means you need to tell people what they're doing wrong. People don't like it, but people need to hear it. And if there was anything in the world that Uzziah needed to hear that day, it was, "You need to get out of here. Nothing good can come from you being in this sanctuary. You need to get from here." So first of all, he was prideful. Second of all, he was rebellious. But notice what happened because of those things that he did on that day. The pride of his sin, the rebellious nature of his sin, led to the consequences of his sin, which was, as we saw in the last part of verse 19, leprosy began to break out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord and before the altar of incense. And it tells us in verse 20 that Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out from there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave, which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. Now Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done. However, he did not enter into the temple of the Lord. But the people continued acting corruptly. I want you to notice just how much the Lord looked upon this sin. Everything in the Scripture that we read about Uzziah is good except for this. 2 Kings doesn't record a bad thing about Uzziah. But this incident right here shows his pridefulness, shows his rebellion against the Lord, and shows the consequences of his sin. In Proverbs, the 13th chapter, in verse 15, it says, "Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard." I like the King James Version, "The way of the transgressor is hard." You want your life to be easy? Do what God tells you to do. And I'll tell you, although there's complications with that at times, it's always better to do what God tells you to do than the complications that come when you decide you're not going to live like God wants you to do. We need to make up our minds that we'll recognize, as it says in Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sin always comes with a bill. I don't care what sin you want to talk about, there's always a bill with it. It's going to cost you something. Usually something here. Always something in eternity. Look what it cost Uzziah. A good king. I know he was a good king. Scripture said he was a good king. But you know, it always gives a good king with an asterisk. He went into the temple of the Lord to offer incense. And the Lord struck him and made him a leper. So while he is still technically king, his son is the one who starts to rule from that day on. When they bury him in the field where His fathers are buried because he's a leper. They don't bury him in the graves of his fathers. And for the rest of his life, he's isolated from family, friends, all other people except lepers because he is a leper. You see, he had a penalty even then. To think about the seriousness of what he had done. Sin always costs you something. So you think, is sin really all that bad? The Lord thinks it is. And we need to recognize that the one who judges us is the one that we need to start thinking like if we want to prepare ourselves for eternity. One last thing I want to leave you with, though. Went to a funeral several years ago, and I heard a preacher preach something that I thought a bit peculiar. The gentleman who was being buried was a fellow who had been out of duty for many, many years and had died of a slow, wasting disease. And during that time, had had time to come around and repent and serve the Lord and do right. And the preacher talked about what a wonderful blessing this disease had been for this man. We usually don't think of slow wasting diseases as being a blessing, do we? We think of those as being terrible. But the preacher said if this man had died of a heart attack back 10 years ago when he was diagnosed, he would have been lost. But with the way that he died, he had time to think about it, and he had time to repent, and he had time to serve the Lord before he died. God is merciful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, I can't help but think that God was merciful to Uzziah. If the Lord had struck him with a lightning bolt there in the temple, Uzziah might not have been recorded as a good king. Because twice he's described as being unfaithful in that one incident, right? And how can an unfaithful king be described as doing right in the sight of the Lord? But here is a man who, as a leper for the rest of his days, is given time to think, to repent, to pray. And the Lord that we recognize as thinking sin as being so bad also is a God of mercy who gave Uzziah time to repent of the things that he had done wrong so that first, last, and in between, we see Uzziah described as being a king who was right. And this being described as an anomaly in his life. I'm here to tell you that the Lord is a benevolent and merciful God to you too. How will your life be recorded? Sin is a big deal. But there's a merciful God who one day will judge you. How will you be judged? Are you going to be someone who, because of your pride, decides to remain in your sin? Are you going to be someone who stands continually as a rebel against the Lord and His cause? We know that the wages of sin are death. But remember, the free gift of God
is life in Christ Jesus. And we're here to offer it to you tonight. If you'll come in faith and show it through repentance, if you'll confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we can baptize you into Christ tonight so that you can leave this place washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you can make things right with a God that doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to be saved in spite of whatever you have done so that you can leave this place righteous. Instead of leaving this place bound by sin, ready for a devil's hell if something were to befall you this very night. If you as a child of God have lived as you should, you need to correct whatever stands between you and God so that if you were to die tonight, you'd be ready to meet the Lord and there'd be nothing standing between you and Him. If God forbid something terrible were to happen to you. There's a great day coming, and it's coming sooner today than it was yesterday. And we'll never be this far away from it again. Think about these things, and if we can help anyone as they make things right with the Lord this evening, we invite you to come while together we stand.